The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast.
G'day, Jono.
Bazaar, me old mate.
Hello, Jonathan.
Greetings, Barry.
How's it going?
Oh, yeah, mate. Can't complain. Yourself?
How are you? I'm quite well today. What about you?
Not bad. I've just been flat out like a lizard drinking.
Oh, yeah, mate. Gotta love this FIFA work, eh?
I've been exceedingly busy. What about you? Oh, yes, me too. This fly-in, fly-out lifestyle has been busy.
So what's your plans this Australia Day?
Oh, look, mate, might go down to local Bottle-O, grab a couple of slabs and head down to the beach. See all the shields, eh?
So, what are your plans for this Australia Day? Well, I plan to go to the liquor outlet and collect some beverages and go to the beach where I can observe the local young women.
So what, you'll be drinking a bit of VB or some 4X?
Oh, look, mate, I might have some 4X and then might dabble in some old Bundy, eh?
What brand of beer are you planning to enjoy? I'm planning to select some from my local area.
And where do you think you'll be heading to?
Oh, look, mate, anywhere but the Big Smoke, eh? Like, Pris Vegas, busy this time of year. I'm going to go, you know, far out as I can. Maybe not beyond the Black Stump, you know, but maybe me local beach there, eh?
Where do you plan on celebrating Australia Day? Anywhere apart from the capital cities, you know, like Brisbane. Probably somewhere local, likely near the beach.
And who do you think you'll be going off celebrating with?
Oh, look, mate, might go with Frankie and Tomo, but some of the other blokes, they're a bit of a tosser, eh? So, after that, might go down to the local pub and view a few frothies, eh?
And who do you think you will be going with? I'll be going with my friend, Frank, and Thomas. All the others are quite unintelligent. After that, we plan to go to the local tavern, where we can have a few beers.
Do you think you'll be finding time for a snag on the barbie?
Oh, look, mate, wouldn't be show day without a few snags on the barbie.
Do you plan to eat sausages? Yes.
It sounds like a fair dinkum of a day.
Too right, mate, she'll be bonza butte.
Sounds like a good day. Indeed it will be. And I think we're going to bring this to an end here, simply because I don't think I can do it anymore. But having said that, welcome to another episode of Table Talk. We thought we would try to demonstrate to you what Australia Day looks like from a local's perspective. Obviously, this is not our plans for Australia Day, but we just wanted to have a little bit of fun to start us off and also introduce our international listeners to a good piece of Australian slang. We tried to use as much as we could and make it still make sense, but somehow I think we still use too much. So, today we are at the table and there's four of us here today. There's myself, Luke, we have NATO, Dave and Ben. Say hi, guys.
G'day.
Hi.
G'day.
So, we have Australia Day, and Australia Day is our national holiday, now national public holiday, where we celebrate Australia itself. And obviously, all of our listeners won't be experiencing Australia Day, but wherever you live, I'm sure you have some days where your own culture is celebrated, and so we thought this would be a great opportunity for us to do another episode in our Culture versus Christianity series, where we talk about how our culture and our Christianity interact with one another. So, do you guys want to give any further information to Australia Day, just to give some context to those who are listening from further afield?
Well, I prefer my sausages from Sanitarium for Australia Day.
Veggie links.
So obviously, it's basically just an excuse for a party for a lot of Australians.
Yeah.
The holiday itself, like you said, is celebrating the country. But for a lot of people, it's just an opportunity to go head down the beach, have a barbie, and throw a few snags on, like you said. A few beers, maybe a bit of beach cricket. Mm. That's probably a typical Australia Day for a lot of, at least for the coastal regions. Yeah. I think out west, in sort of the outback regions, they do have a bit of cricket for Australia Day. Fairly common celebration, and again, lots of beers. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of culturally how it's celebrated. But, you know, really, like, you know, we were talking beforehand, it's quite a hot button issue, I suppose, in society at the moment, whether we should be celebrating the country's origins, because as with, you know, the colonization of a lot of the world, it's not pretty. You know, you come in and you take out another people group and establish yourself instead. And so there's a lot of people questioning the merit of having a holiday to celebrate, you know, taking out a whole people group, essentially, and at least, at the very least, displacing them.
Yeah. And I think one of the other things to do with that is ultimately what we're saying is it's the celebration of Australian culture, yes, but the real question is it at the expense of original Australian culture? And yeah. So there's this conflict between cultures, the Indigenous culture, but and then the following colonization that followed and the culture that brought. But ultimately, I guess the question becomes is, is it okay to celebrate our unique cultures?
Well,
probably depends.
It depends.
Yeah, okay, fair call.
Well, for me, Australia Day is one of those days where I recognise, you know, we've got a very diverse country. So whether Australia Day is on that anniversary of the First Fleet coming to Australia or another day, it is a day where I can recognise, you know, we live in a very blessed country. And we've got many diverse cultures, and it wouldn't be the same without those cultures. So, for me, well, just like the popular Australian song says, we are one, but we are many. We are one Australia, but we are many cultures. We're many, come from many backgrounds, but together, you know, it somehow works, and we're, you know, a good country.
Hmm. And I think that's one of the... That's one of the keys, and that is, I think we can all recognize that there's people at the extremes at either end of this argument. You know, there are the people who are, you know, extremely Australian in the sense that they still believe that there's nothing wrong with what we did to the Aboriginal nations, that it's totally fine, and they just need to get over it. There's that end of the culture, but then there's also the opposing end where there are people who are from the Indigenous cultures who want to see all of modern Australia, you know, reverted based on what their wants and needs are. And I think anyone looking, well, not, maybe not anyone, but certainly if you look at it as a spectrum of belief, neither end is particularly healthy. And so we need to learn, like you're saying there, we need to learn how to coexist and have respect for one another. Yeah. And I think that plays pretty heavily into our faith and what we believe, our Christianity, because that's one of the basic tenets of Christianity, that tolerance and love for one another is one of the core beliefs. And so I really believe as Christians, we have a responsibility in somewhere in the middle of this spectrum.
Yeah. Well, as Christians, we ultimately believe that we came from Adam and Eve, and therefore our one people. Therefore, all these additional cultures came after the fact. And I believe that it's perfectly fine. I mean, God made us diverse. And we should celebrate that diversity, but it should not be at the expense of the fact that we are one people under God.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, some of the things that, you know, wouldn't be the same with other cultures, you know, food. Like, I mean, what Aussie doesn't like going down to the local Indian joint for a curry or maybe down to get some Chinese or maybe some fish and chips?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Our cultures are, when we think about them in the right way, our cultures can be celebrated together, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot... Australia is a very young country, so we don't have a lot of uniquely Australian cuisine, you know, as an example. So we appreciate what has been brought from all of the people that have come to Australia, right?
Yeah.
I'd like to just go back though to something Ben was saying. You know, you were mentioning how we all came from Adam and Eve, and so we've created these subcultures as a result of where we've gone and pockets of civilization that have been isolated for certain amounts of time, etc. But it made me think, you know, as far as relating to other cultures goes, what you're saying is exactly the way that Paul related to the Athenians, right? In Acts chapter 17, where he's talking to them about their culture, which was a polytheistic culture. They believed in many gods. And so he was trying to speak into that culture in such a way so as he could tell them about Jesus, which you would think if they're, you know, got all these gods, you would think he would start by saying, well, all those gods are rubbish and you shouldn't believe that. But that's not where he started at all. He had to start where they had common ground. And so when he was preaching to Hebrews and the people of his ancestors, he come to them from the point of view of common ground being Abraham, their ancestors, the way that Israel lived on through the ages. But what we're talking about now, well, he's talking in this section of Acts chapter 17, he's not speaking to Jews anymore. He's speaking to the people of Athens, to Greeks. And so he says, in verse 26 of chapter 17, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So he's using exactly that, the fact that we all came from one blood originally.
Mm-hmm.
So we can celebrate our differences knowing that we aren't that different.
Yeah, we should be looking for things we have in common rather than what's different.
Yeah.
I mean, we could celebrate it. I mean, food's a good example. Who doesn't like different types of food from all around the world?
Mm.
But that's using difference in a form of unity.
Yes.
And that's where I think it comes back to, is where it depends on whether it's a healthy thing or a negative thing.
Mm. And how did... interested in your thoughts, how did Jesus relate to his culture?
His culture or the cultures around him?
Either, both.
Well, you think of, what was that woman that came to him?
The Syrophoenician woman?
Yeah. Like he was, at the time he was testing his disciples and, he did the typical Israelite thing of ignoring her, and the disciples said to him, send her away, she's annoying us. And then Jesus spoke to her and said, should an Israelite go giving you anything? Should a master give the bread to the dog instead of the children? What did she say? But even the dogs can lick up the crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did Jesus say? Great is your faith.
Mm.
I haven't found faith like this in Israel.
Mm.
And he commended her for that. And there are other circumstances, like with the centurion, who was a Roman.
Mm.
Did he ignore the Roman and his needs? No.
Yeah.
He commended the Roman for his faith. So there are instances where Jesus did come across people from other nations, people that the Jews did not like.
And the other thing that blew my mind is, I can't remember which one it was, whether it was the feeding of the 5,000 or the feeding of the 4,000, but one of those, you don't actually realize that one of those miracles was done for Jews, and the other one of those miracles was done for non-Jews.
Mm.
And that blew my mind. I'd never seen that in scripture, and I came across that a little while ago, and I just thought, wow, what a massive message Jesus was sending to the people that were around him. He was unifying them under his message, and by serving their needs, by feeding them, yet he was doing it in a context that was totally taboo for his day. There wouldn't have been a single Jewish teacher that would have gone out to teach non-Jews.
And the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Great example. He was using that, again, to teach them about how we should relate to one another interculturally.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, as Adventists, we actually have our own culture as well. That's different from the nations that we're a part of. I know here in Australia there's a big contrast, because like we were talking earlier, the beers, the tons of meat. I mean, we can get in on the meat thing, because let's face it, half of Adventists eat meat, except the, well, usually it's get some pork on your fork.
That's a, for those that aren't in Australia, that's an advertising campaign in Australia for pork industry.
Yep. And the other one is beer, which we don't take part of. Mm. I mean, the closest we get is ginger beer.
Yeah.
Which is non-alcoholic.
Which is non-alcoholic, yeah.
So it's always good to find those little things that we can, that link in with our culture, because that's the other thing we've got to look at, is our own subculture within the culture that we're in and relating to others with it.
And that's a really good point, because if we exist too much within our subculture, then it makes it very difficult for us to relate to the culture. I'm not saying that we should go out and start buying beers and pork, but...
No.
But I'm saying that if we are only circulating in Adventist circles, then how can we ever hope to allow our influence to be bigger than what it already is?
Yeah. But having a game of cricket down on the beach, that's totally a good way that, you know, I've seen people walk along, oh, mind if I join? No worries.
Yeah.
And you know, you get some involvement in the community. And
I think the other thing is, because I was thinking about how we as Christians, how do we leverage this, right? I mean, we've spoken about what's good, but what do we do with that, you know? And I think one of the key things, this puts the responsibility on us, because if we get, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, if we get drawn into the culture that's around us, like you were saying, Ben, that is those things... We, as Christians, we can't partake of them with integrity. So what do we do? And in my opinion, the answer is we need to go on the front foot. We need to be the ones being proactive. And so if you're the one that is doing the organizing, then you're the one that chooses the activity, you know. So if we are going about, like you're saying, that if we're going about organizing activities like cricket or whatever, or we're supplying food and drinks, we can do so in a way that is okay with our conscience. You know, we can make sure that everyone's well looked after, but they're well looked after within the realms of what we do as Christians. And then that gives them a window into seeing what we are actually doing. I remember when, this is some time ago now, but I remember we organized I think it was an Australia Day party, but there was probably, you know, 15 people or so came to it. And it was just at my family's place. And it was really good. And there were a number of those people who weren't Christians at all. And they said by the end of it, I can't believe that I had so much fun and I haven't had a drink all day. That was the comment when they left.
Yeah.
That left a really positive impression on them, that they could have that experience, but without anything tainting it, without anything that was negative for them. Mm. And if we went on the proactive stance as Christians, whenever we saw these holidays, whatever the holidays are in your context, whatever those holidays are, you can use them as a way to go on the front foot to meet and interact and have great experiences with people who don't believe what we believe.
Mm.
And we can extend that to any other any sort of get-together as well.
Yeah.
Just simple things like praying over food. It's just not done in Australia. And it can leave an impact. But yeah, the biggest one that I've seen is being able to have fun without alcohol. Yeah. And no matter what context, it surprises people. People just don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Not having fun, just keep drinking until it starts being fun is kind of the theory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was one time our church had a social down the beach and we played some soccer. And there was a man there, and he commented and goes, you know, I haven't heard any swearing from any of yous. Mm. You know, who are you guys? And that's an opportunity to go, you know, we're from the local Adventist church, you know, here for picnic.
Yeah.
That's a door. Mm. It's something that people can notice.
Mm. Yeah, it's a great way to leverage our faith, because to us it's normal.
Yeah.
But we have to remember that's, like you were saying, Ben, that's our subculture. So it's not normal for everybody else. So it's a case of us making opportunities. And I mean, this is something that it's universal. It's the human experience, right? If we make opportunities for people to see something better, they're going to want it. And what we have, you know, even Jesus said that, you know, a life with him is 100-fold better than one without him. And so if we can just give people a window into that, we don't have to preach to them and sit them down and give them a Bible study on the 28 fundamentals before they go home. We have to just show them that what we have is good, and they may indeed want that. So do any of you guys have any final thoughts before we wrap today? Well, I think we'll call that a wrap then. So everybody, just like to thank you so much for joining us for another episode. We hope you enjoyed it, especially the interpretation at the beginning. But again, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, please share it on social media, and we really look forward to catching you guys next week for our next episode.
See you at the beach.
All right.
And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners, and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/oztabletalk, and you can give anything from even $1 a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you, just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.